Ananda Brindavan Champu, Chapter 20, The Rasa Dance. The burning pain in the hearts of those fortunate gopis, who were the very life of Krishna, had now been extinguished. Taking to heart the gentle nectarian words flowing from the full moon of Krishna's mouth, the gopis went almost mad as they caressed him with their trembling arms. They desired to enjoy their lover who displayed irresistible attraction. With his incredibly gorgeous form, looking more beautiful than 100,000 cupids, Krishna served the gopis a continuous feast for their eyes. Then the enchanter of the whole creation began his pastime of rasa dance in order to fill the gopis' hearts with endless bliss. Krishna wanted the gopis to perform the joyful Hali Sukha dance to display their talents in individual mellows. Bhartamuni, the authority on mundane dramatics, describes Hali Sukha as a circular dance that girls perform while holding their hands on each other's shoulders. Desiring to enjoy this dance, Krishna spoke to his gopi lovers who resembled the best jeweled flags. Krishna said, "O my beloved gopis, I derive great happiness from all of you. Now please hear my words with faith. See this auspicious expanse of naturally brilliant beach made by the Yamuna River, her heart bursting with pleasure. It is like a well-plowed field devoid of pebbles and shining like camphor. Although there are many of you, see if you can make a circle here." Hearing this, the gopis replied, "If we stand in a circle, we will be far away from you. Our hearts are trembling at this thought. Being so far away from you, we will not be enthusiastic, nor can we endure the sorrow." Krishna said, "Now just see the potency of my instructions. Though I will stand in the center of the circle with Radhika, I will also remain beside each of you, rapidly twirling around in a playful mood." Their doubts dispelled, the gopis became anxious to see the fun. In great happiness, they joined hands and formed a circle around their beloved Krishna. Their bodies seemed to merge into one form that spread out over the beach like circular waves expanding in an ocean of moonlight. That circle of all attractive ladies looked like a golden net spread over the waters of eager love for catching the fish-like mind of Krishna with the bait of ripe tumbi fruits, their breasts. The rasa circle resembled a fortress of moonlight topped by the black flags of their swaying black braids and decorated with golden pots shimmering in the reflection of their full moon faces. The rasa circle looked like a huge earring decorating the ear of the goddess of the earth, or a golden bracelet of Manasotara Lake surrounding Sumeru, Krishna, or like a giant bangle around the full moon of Krishna. It looked like a potter's wheel rotating from the touch of a potter expert in Cupid's sports. It appeared like a circular grove of interlocked golden desire creepers decorated with dewdrops of perspiration springing up instantaneously without any seed on the camphor dust beach besides the Yamuna. As literature is decorated with essays called Sarva Tobhadra, all forms of auspiciousness and happiness ornamented this dance. Like skillful poetry that can be read forward and backward, the rasa dance sometime went one way and other times the opposite way. As poetry is marked by equal flowing syllables, the dance progressed with balanced steps and no stumbling. As poetry is written in both local and Sanskrit languages, various statements and counter-statements punctuated the dance. As poetry is ornamented with puns, which compressed two meanings in one sound, tight embraces ornamented the circular dance. As poetry is adorned in alliteration, similarly, during the dance the gopis wore suitable clothing to accentuate the various movements of their hands and feet. As poetry is ornamented with repetition, so in the dance one Krishna appeared as many. As poetry has both flowing and syncopated meters, similarly, the dance sometimes proceeded steadily and sometimes in a halting motion. As the eye has a black spot in the center, the circle of dancers had Krishna in the center. Without anyone's notice, Yogamaya dressed the gopis in beautiful clothing and ornaments perfectly suited for the rasa dance. Without knowing why, Krishna felt overwhelmingly attracted to the gopis. Just see how expert Yogamaya is at satisfying Krishna's heart. At the beginning of the dance, the daughter of Rishabhanu displayed the epitome of glory and beauty. Encouraged by the gopis, Radha stayed in the center of the circle with Krishna. Standing like a picture, Radhika bathed in bliss as she watched the dancing expertise of the other gopis. Fearing that they had become too spread out, the gopis gathered together again. As poetry may have the fault of looseness, the gopis placed their arms on each other's shoulders in order to close up the gap between them. Then Krishna, the king of pleasure, left the center of the circle and quickly entered between each pair of gopis. Releasing their locked arms, Krishna placed his arms on the gopis' shoulders and danced with them, displaying fascinating poses. Coming between the pairs of gopis, Krishna first faced them and then hid behind their backs. Krishna held their necks between his arms and moved about. By this, the rasa circle took on a spectacular appearance. Like a firebrand twirling around, straight, then reverse, then zigzagging in motion. Krishna's attractive dancing movements filled the gopis with desires to associate with him. Turning at full speed and putting his arms on the left and right shoulder of the two gopis, Krishna simultaneously embraced both of them. Making a space between the two gopis whom he had just embraced, Krishna quickly moved behind them. Then taking his hand away from one and using the shoulder of the other, he circled around again to face them. In this way, the fun-filled rasa dance continued. Moving in this zigzag motion, Krishna rapidly and skillfully went around to embrace each gopi from front and back. Krishna's artistic dance of love filled his dearest gopi and all the others with ecstatic joy. Overcome with impatience to witness the rasa dance, unlimited numbers of demigods and their wives crowded the sky with their hundreds of celestial airplanes, which looked like planets hanging in the sky. The horizon looked like an assembly hall filled with the Charanas, Kinnaras, Siddhas, Sajas, Gandharvas, and Vijayadharas. The demigods played varieties of festive tunes and melodies to increase the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. They accompanied the rasa dance with Moraja drums shaped like poems of the same name. They beat drums, mridanga, made from pure clay devoid of rocks and other debris from the earth. They rang small metal cymbals, panavas, as plentiful as an exchange of coins, pana, in buying and selling goods. The drummers held the beautiful alinga drums in close embrace, alinga. They played brilliant ankya drums suitably for the various acts of a drama. The Anakadundabi drums equaled the praiseworthy Anakadundabi, Vasudev, of the Yadu dynasty. The vibrations of numerous stringed instruments such as the Veena, Vitata, pervaded Vitata, the sky. The wind instrument, Susiram, had needle-like holes, so Susiram, and the special drums, Anada, were tied up, Sana, Dom, like precious jewels. The celestial musicians showered so many flowers that bees thought they were the cudgel-tinged tears of the goddess of heaven. With hair standing erect in ecstasy, the Gandharvas sang the glories of Yashodanandana. The rhythmic sounds of the anklets and bracelets of Krishna and the gopis poured nectar into the ears of the devatas accustomed to drinking ambrosia and destroyed their desire to taste anything else. Krishna submerged in unlimited bliss as he rapidly spun around between each pair of gopis and embraced them. When the circle of gopis combined with the single dark body of Krishna, it conquered the beauty of the combination of moonlight and darkness, of lightning and storm clouds, of champaka and blue lotus flowers, and of gold and sapphires. Ceasing their zigzag movements, the dancers started turning in a circle. As they merrily danced, the gopis' veils rustled, their earrings swung on their cheeks, their coral necklaces swayed playfully on their shoulders, and their bracelets, waist bells, and ankle bells tinkled delightfully. The gopis, flashing like stationary lightning, sent waves of light around the universe of cloud formations, Krishna, whirling around in the dance. Then something extraordinary happened. Making smaller circles, Krishna danced closer to Radha in the center, and then he expanded again to the circumference of the circle in order to dance close to the other gopis. Enjoying his pastime, Krishna appeared like a roaming sapphire necklace freed from its thread in the jewel box of the circle of gopis. Impelled by the festive sight and desiring to dance like the blissful gopis, the goddesses of dancing, singing, and playing instruments appeared personally at the rasa dance. The presiding deities of music and dance had attained expertise in these arts after long practice. In a blissful mood, the teachers of music and dance worshipped those skillful dancers. They welcomed the arriving demigods of hand positions, mudras, who assist them in their productions. As the gopis expertly sang and danced to the beat of the music, they displayed various mudras and enchanting bodily poses. Mudras are hand postures that tell a story or act out the drama of the music. In the following list, the mudra is first defined and then explained with a metaphor. During the rasa dance, the gopis exhibited all of these mudras to express their different moods. 1. Pataka mudra, flag, like a beautiful flag flying from the mansion of a wealthy man. 2. Tripataka, three banners, like the smoke from the sacrificial arena, the flag of the sacrifice. 3. Hamsa mastaka, swan's head, as tender as the lotus stem touched by a swan. 4. Kartari mukha, betel nut clipper, a curved blade like the thin moon on the second day after dark moon. 5. Sukha tundaka, parrot's head, brilliant like the beak of a parrot, the color of the palasa flower. 6. Sandamsa, compressed like pincers pulling out threads of molten gold. 7. Kottaka mukha, suspicious face, like Shiva holding a kataka, musical instrument, in his hands. 8. Padma kosha, lotus bud, attractive as a lotus surrounded by eager bees. 9. Ahitunda mudra, like a snake charmer skillfully holding a snake's head. 10. Shuchi mukha, pinhead, like the head of the needle, plentiful in the tailor's shop. 11. Mriga sirsaka, deer's head, like the constellation Mriga sirsa during the full moon of the winter month. 12. Ardha chandra, half moon, like the moon on the eighth day. After thanking the hand position devatas, the goddesses of the performing arts welcome the devatas of songs and ragas. The devatas in charge of various styles of prabandha and dhruva, and of irregular intonations such as hari vilas, swarata, along with various rhythms such as cha-kat-putra, cha-ka-putra, hamsa-lila, gajalila, simhananda, extensive talas, as well as Ekatali, Rubaka, Apratimanta, Nisaru, Yati, Triputa, Atuka, and Adital were also in attendance. The music devatas of southern, Tailanga, and western styles all gathered there. They received the devatas of ragas such as Malara, Malara, Bhairava, Kedara Nata, Karanta, Kamoda, Sama, Desaga, Gandhara, Mangala, and Vasanta, the devatas of Raginis, Gujari, Pahula Gujari, Bharati, Desika, Bhairavi, Velavali, Ramkiri, Danasika, Sri Pali Gori Todi, Gondakiri, and Kalyanika. They greeted the Lakshmi of singing and the devatas of text and music, the seven melodies, swaras, the 21 fading notes, murchana, three scales, grama, 18 scales, jati, and 22 marginal notes, shruti. They welcomed four types of instrumental devatas, wind instruments such as vamsi, muralika, pavika, upanga, string instruments like vina, mahati, kavilasika, Vipanchi, Swara, Mandalika, Kachapi, Rudrabina, and Kinare. Drumming instruments like Mridu, Mridanga, Damaru, Tampa, and percussion instruments like cymbals. They welcome the different tempos, fast, slow, and medium, and the body poses of dance. Among them appear devatas such as Swara Mandalika, Vipanchika, Mahati, Rupavati holding lutes and others holding tamburas. Many singers with drummers, veena, and flute players joyfully appeared there. Many expert kartal players kept the rhythm. All these devatas, the embodiments of the performing arts and the Upanishads of the arts, attended the Rasa Lila with smiling lotus faces and looks of astonishment. The best dancers assembled there, showing their expertise in both the improvised and the pure styles. They exhibited proficiency in all the secrets of music and graceful movements like a person who turns ordinary words into songs. Something more may be added. There are two types of songs, Marga, song, dance, and music according to the rules laid down by Brahma, and Deshi, regional. There are 34 types of Marga and 40 types of Deshi songs. In musicology, the Chan Cha Puta beat is famous. The recitation of beats bowl sounded most attractive. Tataya ta 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 tataya ta 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 tataya tatai ti ta ta tatai tatai ta 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 tatai taga 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 tati ta diga natai. Following this recitation, the rhythm keepers kept kartals in their hands. Moving them left, right, up and down, they sang an attractive new eighth note. Though there are only seven notes on the scale, playing in different measures, Lagu, Guru, Pluto, Drat, and Virago, sometimes with bowl and sometimes without. When the drummers raised the tumultuous sound by hitting the ends of the drums with their hands, their lips shone and their throats quivered. The female singers took on a splendor as they turned their ears towards the sound of the instruments thundering with great skill. The seven notes revealed their beauty in four ways according to their placement in the tune Anu Vadi, Vivadi, Vadi, and Samvadi. The Vadi is like a king. It is used frequently and defines the swarup or essence of the rag. The Samvadi acts like the fifth note and is called the minister. Any of the other four notes may be the vivadi or enemy. The remaining notes of the rag are called anuvadi, the followers of the king and minister. The constituents of the swaras are called shrutis, which are 22 in number, named tivra, kumudvati, and so on. When these combine, they form three types of grama scales, sajja, madhyama, and kandura. When a swara melody fades into a raga, it is called murchana, fading note. Raga develops by using murchana. There are a total of 21 murchanas, 7 swaras times 3 scales, such as panchama, vodri, and others. All these murchanas appeared during the Rasa Lila. Playing the murchanas in ascent is called tana. There are 49 tanas, keynotes. From them, minor tanas arise. It is impossible to count their varieties. In the Rasa Lila, 300,000 tanas appeared. Jatis are the archetypes of ragas. There are 7 pure jatis and 11 secondary jatis, a total of 18. Though only 18 in number, 17,900 jatis appeared in this rasa dance. There are 3 types of complete ragas appearing in 50 forms. By omitting and retaining notes, many forms of ragas resound within the rasa dance. There are 6 main ragas such as Sri and Vasanta, and 36 raginis, wives of the ragas, or derivative forms such as Mala, Sri, and Todi. Unlimited varieties of ragas and raginis arise by mixing those forms. In order to sing the shrutis, jatis, murchanas, and the 15 gamakas, trills, or making a melody pulsate, Brahma supplied fixed and changeable tuning on the veena. While sounding the veenas to regulate the pitch of the gopis' voices, one wondered about the accuracy of the veenas' tuning. Proud of their ability to test the pitch of voices, the veenas themselves became tested by comparison with the gopis' voices. the gopis sang a type of song called Shuddha Prabandha. There are 9 types of Shuddha: Adi, Yati, Nisaru, Ada, Triputa, Jambaka, Mantaka, and Ekatali. Then the gopis sang Dhruva and Manta songs of the Salaga Shuddha style using various irregular beats. They also sang Prabandha songs. Excitedly uttering the bowl, Tataya, Tataya, Tata, Tata, Tataya, 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 Tigara, Ta, Tataya. The gopis, stamping their feet on the ground and raising their arms in the air, danced sweetly from left to right while going around the circumference of the circle. To further relish the singing, the gopis made mudras to dramatize the words of the songs. As they gracefully turned their necks, their eyes darted from left to right, glancing at Krishna with looks of love. Raising their arms high and shaking their bangles while spinning around, the gopis danced with lightning speed. Because they tasted such ecstasy within, they could not stop. Being strung on the thread of Krishna's beauty within their hearts, they flawlessly and continuously moved their feet to left and right. While stamping their feet to the beat, dee, 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 da, dee, dee, their bodies swayed in time and their jeweled ankle bells softly jingled. The cloth slipped from their breasts and it seemed their thin waist would soon snap in half. But fearlessly they swung their arms and danced in joy, twisting left and right. The veena and flute players also danced with precise steps. The singers and rhythm makers danced according to the beat of the song. The drummers played loudly and danced in unison. Their sound was like a thread tied to the bodies of the dancing gopis. When Krishna turned to the left while moving around in the rasa circle, the gopis turned to the right. And when Krishna turned to the right, they turned to the left. Dancing in this manner, they appeared as figures spotlighted by a moving lamp, which cast shadows first on one side and then on the other side, as the combination of golden-bodied gopis and dark blue Krishna repeatedly reversed their positions. The instrumentalist situated outside the circle assisted the pastime of the Lord by playing according to the dancing of the gopis. The gopis sang various songs about the sweetness of Krishna, the personification of all nectarian enjoyment. In response, Krishna sang about the beauty of the moon, who brings pleasure to the night. In a gentle ragini, the gopis sang, "His face is the abode of sweetness." As the beat picked up, and the gopis stamped their feet harder, drops of perspiration fell from their lotus feet like honey on the sand. Astonishingly, the fury of the dancing did not raise a speck of dust. The image of Krishna's dancing, which reflected on the gopis' tilaks, swayed to the rhythm of the dancing gopis as they rocked their heads. The gopis seemed to be saying to that reflected image of Krishna, "O skillful dancer! Your dancing can never, never, never compare with the splendid dancing of the gopis in the Rasa Mandala." At the end of the dance, all the lotus-eyed gopis tightly embraced Krishna. Trembling in ecstasy, they sang another rag in loud voices, conveying their intense longing. The devatas of music all fainted upon hearing this raga. One gopi, joining Krishna in his singing, sang pure melodious tones with full feeling in the Gandharva scale made pleasant by suitable jati, shruti, and gamakas. Pleased, Krishna showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, "Excellent, excellent." She pleased Krishna by singing the 7 notes of the scale embellished with 22 shrutis presented with the principal ornaments in the introductory passages, alapa. Hearing the mridangas playing, ta-tik, ta-tik, the dancers of the heavenly planets filled with cheer. Though critical of any competition, they filled with delight on hearing that sound. The gopis kept dancing and the instruments kept playing. Due to intense attraction to Radhika, Mukunda, swelling with bliss and pride, performed a dance solo exhibiting his eternal nature as the embodiment of rasa. Wearing a peacock feather in his hair, Mukunda showered the rasa dance in a cloudburst of nectarian prema by embracing Radha in his arms. Krishna looked like a tamal tree embraced by a golden creeper, a cloud flashing with lightning, or like a perfect medicine produced by the goddess of amusement herself, to bring satisfaction and to dissipate all lamentation. The splendor of Krishna's elegance conquered the pride of a million Cupids. Like a magnet, Krishna attracted the flower buds of Cupid's arrows of love. Seeing Radha dancing with Krishna, the other gopis wanted to enhance her expert dancing, but they could not keep up with Radha's proficient playing, singing, and dancing. This performance was not simply a result of practice, nor a show of expertise in learning, singing, and dancing, nor a momentary display of enthusiasm based on a little talent cultivated through repetition. Radha's impeccable qualities are eternally present and eternally perfect. They do not depend on practice to manifest. Radhika's natural perfection far exceeds that of all the famous women in creation. The dancing skills of Urvasi cannot be compared to Radha's. What to speak of the other apsaras who hide themselves in the pleasant waters of bashfulness before Radhika? In front of Radha, the wives of the charanas retreated to the edge of the forest. The wives of the siddhas gave up their pride, and the wives of the Gandharvas lost their noble character. Fixing their minds on the great fortune of Krishna's intense love for Radha, the wives of the devas and munis sprinkled flowers. In a mixture of joy, enthusiasm, and a desire to outdo each other, Radha and Krishna, overcome with attraction, sang the alapa introductory part with the initial note, graha, and the sixth note. They sang all the notes of the ascending and descending scales with gamaka, trills or wavering. This invoked various tastes, induced more singing and dancing, and spread auspiciousness all around. It did not, however, appear to be a manifestation of any material skill. As the rhythms faded out just before the end of the song, Krishna concluded the song with the final note, nyasa, extending his lotus hand, nyasa, to touch Radhika's breast. Although intrigued by Krishna's witty behavior, Radhika pretended to be angry and pushed Krishna's hand away with her left lotus hand. Merciful Krishna captivated all the gopis with the sweetness of his face and his broad, playful smiles, which gave rise to selfless love. Though Krishna's heart was overwhelmed with the desire for conjugal love, he continued to dance a little more while swinging his head. Sometimes Krishna moved to the outside of the circle and danced with the tribal Abhira women standing on the edge, and at other times he moved to the center of the circle to dance with Radhika. After relishing the dancing, Krishna wanted to see the expertise of the gopis in performing other intimate pastimes. He stood before them, showing his radiant face and attractive arms while interacting with each one according to her individual rapture. Krishna said, "O my beloved gopis, now take sufficient rest for some time, then we will see how to enjoy ourselves." Saying this, Krishna and the gopis relaxed on the cooling camphor-white sands along the bank of the Yamuna. The intelligent Yogamaya, Vrindadevi, and her associates came there, knowing that the time had come for their service. They brought plenty of elegant and appropriate things to give to the gopis. With great affection, they offered wildflower honey, cooling fruit juice in palasa leaf cups more attractive than jeweled dishes, garlands and betel nuts, with a taste so satisfying and perfect that no ordinary person could have made it. Krishna forgot about his pastimes of eating on the riverbank with his coward friends. It occurred to Krishna that he had now fulfilled his desire to picnic directly with the gopis on the bank of the Yamuna. Krishna passed the time playfully eating with them in unlimited bliss. Intensely desiring to see the fun, Brahma and the other devatas did not go anywhere. But since they had previously offended Krishna when he picnicked with his coward boyfriends, they did not have the courage to gaze on this secret picnic. Thus they raised their cloths to cover part of their faces. After savoring the ecstatic rasa dance, Krishna enjoyed in a different way in that solitary place, joking and laughing in the madness of love. Devoid of restraints, the ocean of prema in the rasa mandal swelled with high unlimited waves. In that condition, Gopinath and his lovers tasted the sweet fruits and nectar drinks. With great pleasure, Krishna sipped the cool water brought by the respectful Vanadevis. He relished the betel nuts flavored with camphor and sarar root, which he held before his mouth in a unique way. The wind passing over the Yamuna carried the scent of lotuses and the blissful sound of cranes and ducks as it blew gently on Krishna's body. After drinking his fill of liquor before the battle, Krishna left his sitting pastime with a desire to dance again in the artful battle of love. Standing up, Krishna played an amazing raga in the Gandharva scale on his flute. It so much surpassed his previous songs that even the expert musicians could not touch it. The devatas sang along accompanied by mridangas. Because it is impossible to describe the fantastic dancing of the individual gopis, the dancing of one gopi of Radha's group will now be described, from which everything can be understood. As the voices and instrumental music blended in a pleasant way, one gopi who embodied the essence of the art of dancing stood up amidst the singers like the center of a flower surrounded by golden petals. When the beat fell off, she appeared like a deity making a sudden appearance to the clanging of musical instruments. That gopi had a very thin waist and heavy swollen breasts. While bending her delicate left and right hands to show the Ardhendu, half moon, and Padmakosha, lotus bud mudras, she glanced slowly from right to left. Perspiring profusely, her body seemed to be as soft as molten wax as she moved gracefully executing difficult dance steps. According to proper method, she extended and contracted her arms while touching her waist, forehead, neck, and knees and forming mudras such as Ahamsasya. Dancing in this way, her waist became even thinner and her breasts more firm. Her braid licked her heels and the three lines on her belly disappeared. When the beat stopped, she waved her hands in the air and suddenly bent her back in such a way as to conquer the beauty of the Champaka flower bow of Cupid. Fixing her knees firmly on the ground and stretching her arms out to the sides, she twirled around at lightning speed. Her ornaments jingled, her necklace and earrings swung, and swarms of bees circled around, being attracted by the fragrance of her mouth. She appeared like a golden wheel spun rapidly by a mad potter. The combination of the pale luster of her gold necklace, the redness of her lips, and the blackness of the bees made an extraordinary picture. While contracting her belly, dropping her sash, and expanding her breasts, this gopi dug her toes into the earth, straightened her legs, and raised herself on her feet. Clenching her fists and pressing her thumb against her breast, she recited the bowl, ta-ta, ta-tai, tai, ta-tai, tai, ta-tai, in unison with the beat while ringing her bangles and ankle bells. When the song finished, she suddenly disappeared from the center of the circle and positioned herself on the circumference. While the voices, veenas, flutes, kartals, and mridangas resounded, this gopi stood behind the singers and rested her arms on the shoulders of a friend. While chewing betel nut, she extended her legs so that the friend could untie the strings of her ankle bells. To relieve her fatigue, her friends stood around fanning her with their shawls. Her breasts heaving, she took a few deep breaths and fell asleep. After resting some time, she heard the singers expertly reciting the alapa to introduce a new song. Then she re-entered the rasa mandala like Cupid personified. Illustrating the song with intricate mudras, she danced so enthusiastically that Shiva became inspired to perform his Tandava dance. Her thumb had the best of beauty. Her forefinger excelled the pride of Cupid. Her middle finger defeated the grace of the universe. Her ring finger defeated the pride of Cupid's wife. And her little finger established the meaning of colorful expression. This gopi with beautiful teeth, raised firm breasts, and nicely shaped buttocks waved her arms, exciting her golden bracelets to jingle attractively. She raised her knees and arms and turned to the beat of ta-ta, ta-tai, tiki-da, tiki-tai. This golden gopi appeared like a continually rising golden light as she twisted and turned higher and higher. She appeared like a stream of golden pollen stirred up by a storm amongst a group of lotuses composed of singers and musicians. As she swayed in the sky like a glowing vine, she displayed many complicated movements. Indeed, this did not arise from dance lessons. As the essence of gracefulness, her feet never touched the ground. If a group of lightning bolts from a cloudless sky remained stationary for a long time, swaying in the breeze and roaring with the beat, ta-ta, ta-tai, it might compare with this gopi's dancing. As the beat subsided and her footsteps softened, this gopi with full breasts swayed her body back and forth, revealing the perfection of beauty in her upper limbs. Her friends feared that her thin waist, unable to bear the bending, would break like a tender lotus stem. When her golden ankle bells signaled the beginning, she danced with great skill, moving her feet to the different beats, Lagu, Guru, Pluta, Druta, Drutata, and Ardha, Druta, Pada. She rang all her ankle bells. Sometimes she jingled only a few, and sometimes not even one bell sounded. Pleased with her, Radha and Krishna cheered out, "Very good, very good," and embraced her. This gopi's spectacular performance astonished the assembly of apsaras and devatas. After watching each gopi dancing in this way, Krishna commenced his performance. Displaying inconceivable dancing prowess, he moved with abandon along with all the gopis. Abounding in joy, he sang and danced and induced the gopis to sing and dance. Dancing in this way, the night passed in an instant, although it extended for the length of Brahma's night. In this extraordinary rasa dance, sometimes the gopis danced alone or in a group. Sometimes they danced singly in turns or joined with Krishna to sing and dance a duet. Feeling both tired and extremely satisfied from the blissful rasa dance, the gopis opened their bodices and rested their arms on Krishna's shoulders. The gopis looked as gorgeous as golden creepers hanging on the branches of a tamal tree caressed by the breeze. Embraced by the exhausted gopis, Krishna appeared to be the embodiment of conjugal rasa embraced by the embodiment of ecstasy. One gopi with swaying necklaces, lotus bud earrings, and an elegant dress put her left arm on Krishna's shoulder. As her belt and ankle bells chimed along, she sang and danced in a slow, artistic manner. Krishna danced after her, following her movements. One love-excited lotus-eyed gopi grabbed the border of Krishna's golden dhoti in her left hand and danced back and forth while pulling it and making Krishna dance in response. Another gopi, charged with emotion, sang and danced in an even tempo, responding to the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. In a mood of jest, Krishna intentionally played some dissonant notes. With her glance, that gopi chastised Krishna while at the same time covering her own discordant notes. The gopi said, "Krishna, you are playing out of tune to distract me and point out my faults. I know your tricks. Your gestures reveal your intention to make me sing out of tune." After dancing for a while to his flute song, one gopi induced Krishna to dance proudly by singing and playing her veena. Just for fun, in the middle of the dance, Krishna moved with a complicated, irregular gait. Becoming very impatient, the gopi thought, "That Krishna is not going to make me laugh and miss the beat." Thus Krishna gave pleasure to all the young ladies of Vrindavan by embracing them, glancing lovingly at them with his playful smiles, kissing them and drinking the nectar of their lips. All the different gopis present at the Rasa Mandala got a chance to dance and individually enjoy with Krishna. In this way, the gopi group leaders, their followers, and maidservants all relished the greatest ecstasy in the Rasa Dance Festival. Fatigue personified as a friendly sake to decorate the gopis' foreheads with beads of perspiration that looked like attractive strings of pearls. Their limbs hung loosely from lethargy as if they were drunk from liquor. But even in their exhaustion, the gopis looked elegant and effulgent. Her body drooping from weariness, one gopi draped her arms on Krishna's shoulders. Not being able to bear the weight of the mountain of her good fortune, she had to load it on the shoulders of her lover in order to rest for some time. After getting intoxicated on honey wine, one gopi completely discarded her bashfulness. Brimming with affection, she went mad to enjoy without restraint. She looked particularly beautiful due to shaking from the fatigue of bearing the weight of her heavy breasts. Upon her shoulders, Krishna placed the jeweled batons of his arms, whose natural blue lotus fragrance mixed with that of the sandalwood pulp anointing them. As the gopi relished that fragrance, she submerged in an ocean of ecstasy. Then, riding the high waves of satisfaction, she kissed Krishna's arms. Next to Krishna's cheek, one tired gopi put her own, beautified by effulgence of her jeweled earrings which glittered as she danced. Admiring her soft, splendid face, Krishna kissed her and slowly offered his chewed betel nut to her honey-sweet lips. Though they were exhausted, some exceedingly elegant gopis, inspired by the auspicious fragrance of Krishna's body, continued to sing and dance. In doing so, their bodices heaved with their heavy breathing, their necklaces moved like billowing waves, and they moved in frivolous ways. While they danced like this, Krishna grabbed both their breasts with one hand. It appeared like a blue lotus covering two golden water pots, being so closely set, touching one breast equal touching the other. The ears of the lotus-eyed gopis moistened with drops of perspiration from the exertion of dancing and singing. As the intense dancing gradually slowed down, the tinkling of their jeweled ankle bells ceased. Then another enthusiastic gopi stepped forward to dance with Krishna, accompanied by her pleasant singing, precise movements, and the delicate vibrations of her ankle bells. Although the long night of Brahma passed away, the joyous adventures of intimate love raged on. Krishna sported like an engrossed boy with members of the groups assisting the performance of the rasa dance. As expansions of the group leaders, these gopis embodied portions of individual arts and skills. Krishna, the source of Narayan, smiled, talked to them, embraced them, kissed them, and drank the nectar of their lips. Krishna performed all these loving pastimes simply to fulfill the desires of the gopis. The doe-eyed girls with thin, creeper-like arms swam in the river of desire for Krishna, inundated by the delight of directly serving him. In the gopis' ecstasy, their hair, bodices, and clothing had unknowingly loosened. The devatas, headed by Shiva and Brahma, praised the son of the king of Vrindavan, the supreme person who stole the minds of all beautiful women in the universe, who was endowed with all wonderful qualities, and who was always absorbed in his pastimes of love. The wives of the devatas fainted simply seeing Krishna from the sky. What an astonishing, incomprehensible pastime! Even the stars in the sky, caught in the whirlpool of love manifested there, lost their intelligence, became attracted by the desires of their minds, and fainted. From its very beginning, the rasa dance disturbed the movements of the moon. The night served Krishna's desire by lasting as long as Brahma's night. Following the rasa dance, Krishna enjoyed with each gopi in separate solitary bowers. Krishna and the gopis were mutually attracted to each other. Thus Krishna satisfied each gopi to the limit of her desires. Krishna's love displays a wonderful sweetness in union. With his tender lotus hand, Hari affectionately wiped the drops of perspiration from the beautiful faces of the smiling gopis who had tired from the varieties of love sports. But the touch of Krishna's hand saturated their minds with ecstasy and made the gopis perspire even more. Seeing his lack of expertise in this matter, the gopis themselves took pieces of cloth and wiped their own faces. Then the gopis, who had exhibited their talent in performing enthralling dances, sang some unique self-composed songs, which were charmingly sweet, evoking compassion, and endowed with exquisite beauty. Playing in the Jamuna. To dispel the gopis' fatigue from dancing and exhaustive conjugal pastimes, Krishna entered the Jamuna followed by swiftly moving singing bees. Their lengthy pastimes on the bank had covered Krishna and all the gopis with dust. With great enthusiasm, they entered the lotus-filled currents of the Yamuna River. Krishna looked like a lordly elephant playing in the water with his consorts. While bathing in the Yamuna, the exquisite lotus faces of the gopis defeated the beauty of thousands of lotus flowers. Their thin arms defeated the lotus stems. Their full rounded breasts defeated flocks of chakravaka birds, and their graceful flowing movements defeated the flocks of swans gliding on the water. When the gopis submerged themselves up to their necks, the sky filled with the golden lotuses of their faces. Upon touching their pot-like breasts, the river rose in waves to serve those pairs of chakravaka birds. Their many slender arms hanging down in the river appeared like hundreds of lotus stems. Smelling the fragrance of the gopis' bodies, the swarms of black bees gave up the lotuses and soared toward the gopis. It appeared as if the black Yamuna had come to respectfully greet them. When the swans flapped their wings, it appeared that out of affection, the Yamuna fanned the tired gopis. When swarms of black bees gathered above them and the devatas showered white flowers, it appeared like strings of pearls sewn on a dark blue cloth shaking in the wind. Keeping their beloved in the center and making a circle around him, the gopis hit the water while holding their hands together. This caused little waves to rise from the Yamuna, which in turn splashed against the chest of Krishna. The waves looked like the hairs of Yamuna's body standing on end in ecstasy. Interlocking their fingers, the gopis gathered water in their hands and forcefully splashed Krishna. It appeared that Hari had been wounded by the power of Cupid's water weapon. Knowing that Cupid's weapon could not be destroyed, but it could be counteracted, Krishna dove under the water. Moving his hands, Krishna playfully snatched the sashes of the gopis. Pretending to be afraid, they jumped up and ran away as Krishna pursued them, splashing water. After quickly defeating the gopis in the water fight, Krishna grabbed all their necklaces as booty and stored them under his armpit. Radha secretly approached from behind, loosened Krishna's arm, and seized the necklaces. Radhika tried to hide amongst some golden lotus flowers, but was afraid of the deep water. Radha looked fearfully when Krishna discovered her hiding place and swam toward her. Coming up from behind, Krishna suddenly placed his hands firmly on Radha's breast and lifted her up. The other gopis just stared in amazement at his behavior. Radhika startled when some restless sapuri fish, minnows, suddenly brushed against her legs. Out of fear, she clutched Krishna's neck and embraced him again and again. Then Radha glorified the genuine friendship of the sapuri fish and broke out in a tender smile. While some gopis competed to pick lotus flowers and stems, they laughed and felt no distress. They faced but one difficulty, the desire born from the bliss of seeing Krishna, who happily witnessed their actions. Afflicted thus, they appeared to be stupefied from a beating. When Krishna approached these gopis and tried to caress their chakravaka breasts, they crossed their arms in front. Their crossed arms looked like lotus stems embracing their throats. The gopis appeared to be sniffing lotuses as they shyly covered their faces with their lotus hands. In this way, by various gestures, the intensity of passion grew in the water games between Krishna and the gopis. While drenched in the Ganga Ras, water or Shringara Ras, the gopis' kumkum ran off their breasts, their necklaces broke, the kajal washed off their eyes, their lips lost their red color, their jeweled belts came undone, and their hair braids loosened. In this condition, the luscious beauty of the gopis doubled. This is the nature of persons drowning in the pleasurable waters of Madhurya Ras. After offering their precious gems and jeweled ornaments to the Yamuna River as a gift, the gopis fashioned earrings of spotless water lilies, hair ornaments of lotuses, necklaces of lotus stems, and belts of Saivala plants. Their bangles tinkled when they scooped up water in their left hands and slapped them with their right hands to imitate the music of frogs. Thus, the water pastimes met a fitting close. After rubbing oil on their bodies, the golden-hued gopis bathed and then climbed up on the bank of the Yamuna. They looked very beautiful with their loosened undergarments and dark locks of hair dripping with water. It appeared as if the bright rays of the moon, pursued by dense darkness, now retreated and wept. The gopis towel-dried their bodies and put on ornaments, clothing, and cosmetics supplied by the all-auspicious Yogamaya, who is always active and expert in supplying the right things at just the right time. While dressing themselves, the gopis took on the role of women who dominate their lovers, Swadhina Vratrika. With their pleasing complexions and dazzling earrings, the gopis looked like the goddesses of fortune. Intelligence judges them as the topmost reservoirs of prema and the abodes of sweetness covered with festive joy. Surrounding the supreme enjoyer and lord of their lives, who wore an elegant crown, a kastuba necklace, and other effulgent ornaments, the gopis entered the courtyards of the forest kunjas along the Yamuna, which resounded with flocks of singing swans and other water birds. The Vanadevis provided delicious, fragrant madhu, that is honey liquor made from flower extracts and jeweled pitchers. Intoxicated by the fragrance, swarms of bees flew in all directions and circled overhead. Though lit by full moonlight, the evening sky appeared darkened by their presence. Illumined by the moonbeams, the strand of beach looked like a silver band and the crystal wine glasses looked enchanting. because the moonlight and the crystal glasses glistened with equal intensity. One could distinguish them only by touch and not by sight. Gazing at the intoxicating beverage in front of the gopis, Krishna paused a moment to ponder its specialty, to better understand how it causes intense madness and varieties of bewilderment. Krishna eagerly drank the madhu. Joking with the mandaris, Krishna said, "Oh, beautiful-eyed women, fill the crystal cups and freely distribute this delightful drink to all the group leaders." After giving Krishna his share, the mandaris distributed the rest. Krishna and the gopis sat on the bank of the Yamuna, which was purified by the lotus-scented wind and washed by the nectar of the full moon's rays. The madhu appeared to be all attractive due to its reflecting the image of the moon in the crystal glasses, the presence of the intoxicated bees circling overhead, and the sweet fragrance of full-blooming lotuses emanating from the drink. It is a well-known fact that drinking madhu produces amazing effects. With the first sip, the eyes become bloodshot. With the second sip, words stop. And the third sip makes a person fearful of harmless objects and fearless before danger. Knowing the characteristics of madhu, the assembled gopis were reluctant to drink it and show these amusing symptoms for Krishna's pleasure. Nevertheless, the gopis sipped the strengthening potion. Madhu increases one's virility and amorous prowess as they approach the battlefield of love. The beautiful faces of Radha and Krishna look like a combination of a nectar-filled moon and a honey-filled lotus. Drops of betel nut juice stain their lips with an attractive reddish hue. While drinking the madhu, Radha and Krishna also sipped the nectar of each other's lips. As the festival progressed, Krishna became as proud and uncontrollable as an intoxicated elephant. Krishna, who is the infinite ocean of bliss and the precious jewel of sweetness, abandoned all discrimination as he played madly with the gopis. Appearing intoxicated, Krishna listened to himself without speaking. The gopis quenched their thirst with their first sip of madhu, and with the second sip they felt stupefied. They conversed with the mandaris in drunken voices. Noticing the reflection of the moon in her glass, one gopi asked, "Hey, Saki, is the moon drinking up my liquor?" While fanning her, a sober mandari replied, "He is not only drinking your madhu, but he is stealing the beauty of your face as well. It has already gone down his throat. Quickly bite him with your teeth, for he is immortal anyway." The gopi replied, "Oh, I will not drink his leftovers." Then she drank some madhu and threw away the glass. Another garrulous gopi, with slurred, incoherent words, tightly grasped Krishna and said, "Oh, look, the sky is falling. Oh, the earth is turning. Oh, Lord, please hold me. My body is shaking. I will fall over. Seeing the reflection of the bees swarming over her glass, one intoxicated gopi said, "This is the dregs of the wine." Then she poured the wine into another glass to remove the dregs before offering it to Radha. Being totally intoxicated from drinking madhu and the nectar of Krishna's association, Radhika looked extremely attractive as she repeatedly addressed Krishna as, "Oh, lady friend." Radhika said, "Oh, lady friend." Playfully matching her mood, Krishna replied, "Yes, O Lord of my life." Radha said proudly, "You are called Hari because you are a thief and you take away all women." Krishna said, "O Krishna, be gracious towards me." Actually, Krishna meant to say, "O Radha, may you be happy." Becoming angry, Radha replied, "O lady friend Shyame, has Krishna met you?" Radhika intended to say, "O Krishna, has my friend met with you?" Krishna said, "O Lord, I worship you." He meant to say, "O Radha, I worship you alone. There is no one else in this world but you." Radha and Krishna bewildered Cupid with their inverted conversation caused by drinking madhu. After some time, the intoxication of the liquor wore off and they recovered their self-awareness. The lethargy, dizziness, and so on from being intoxicated caused a lessening of desires. Now Radha and Krishna entered a state of transcendental madness and love wherein inebriety decreased and desire increased. In this way, the beautiful gopis of Vrindavan spent the night, which lasted as long as Brahma's day, intimately associating with the Lord of their lives. Thus, the crest jewel of enjoyment, whose body is made of intense bliss, revealed his playful pastimes of love in the company of the Brajagopis, who are expansions of his personal potency known as Ladini Shakti. Since the conjugal affairs of materialistic men are devoid of spiritual ras, the poetic works written about them are all useless productions. Therefore, Krishna displayed his transcendental pastimes to show the perfection of such activities. Cupid also attained success by assisting Krishna's divine pastimes in Vrindavan. The multitude of stars in the sky, which seem like the remnants of flowers showered by the wives of the devatas, look like the fading morsels of the moon's repast. The pearls of the night queen had been torn from their strings and scattered about in play by her consort the moon. Now the night collected them again. The remaining stars in the sky looked like the last stray pearls, which gradually disappeared as the night drew to a close. The moon appeared like a silver ship traveling from one continent to another on the ocean breast of the sky. Being trapped by the counter winds of the Rasa Lila, that ship could not move forward for a long time. When the Rasa Lila subsided, the ship again moved and soon arrived at its destination in the west. As the moon and stars gradually disappeared, the long night, feeling sorrowful due to its impending separation from the Lord, appeared ready to give up its body. The wives of the devatas, their hearts being pierced by the lance of separation, also disappeared from the sky. Though the night had been as long as a day of Lord Brahma, upon the conclusion of the Rasa dance at the end of that night, the gopis returned to the homes of their so-called husbands. Their husbands, however, did not find any fault in them, for Yogamaya had made duplicate copies of each gopi. The husbands took these forms to be their wives. These duplicate gopis spent the whole night sleeping next to their husbands. Thus, the so-called husbands never actually had any intimate contact with Krishna's transcendental consorts known as the Brajagopis. For Krishna, the possessor of unlimited energies, Shaktiman, and the gopis the embodiments of his Ladini Shakti, there is no question of immorality in his enjoying his own Swarup Shakti manifesting as the forms of the Brajagopis. However, to nourish the taste of his pastimes, Krishna's relationship with the gopis seems to be unchaste, illicit love according to the conventions of mundane society. The deep attachment Krishna has for his beloved Brajagopis is never seen in the Lord of Dwarka and Rukmini or the Lord of Vaikuntha and Lakshmi. The full taste of rasa that Krishna experiences in the Parakiya Bhava, Paramour love, of the Brajagopis far exceeds the rasa tasted in the Swakiya Bhava, wedded love, of his queens in Dwarka. The Parakiya Bhava Lila, the Rasa Lila, is not simply a temporary manifestation. This perfectly pure transcendental pastime is eternally going on, even though it may be invisible to our eyes. Krishna displays this marvelous pastime in the material world just to bestow his mercy upon the conditioned souls. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes Krishna's Rasa Lila with the gopis will attain inestimable good fortune. Among literary works, those about Hari are sweet, but those describing Krishna in Vrindavan are the sweetest quintessence of nectar. As the Ganga forever flows, among the topics of Krishna, the Rasa Lila is the ever-flowing embodiment of bliss. May my mind always swim in that river of nectar.
Jai Ho 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 Jai Ho